on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
New album called Smoke, Wine and Whiskey. That was Runaway June with Fine Wine. Their name, Runaway June, is an ode to their separate histories and their mutual bonds. They each felt pulled to run away from their homes and towards their dreams to find themselves part of something much bigger. As for June, though, both Jennifer's grandmother and one of Naomi's sisters are named June, a strong symbol of the family the trio have now become. Runaway June, they're opening tonight's broadcast with Fine Wine. You're listening to Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM, your weekly dose of country music each and every Thursday night, 10 p.m. until midnight. On tonight's show, I'll be sharing with you a wonderful highlight of my day, week, year, lifetime interview with Hannah Blaylock, former Eden's Edge member. They released a brilliant track called Too Good To Be True and another track called Amen during their Big Machine label days. However, since the group's disbandment, lead singer Hannah Blaylock has released solo work. She worked on her first album called Bandit Queen with the Dixie Chicks, and she's set to release her second album, The Fall and Rise, in literally a few hours. It comes out in only a few hours. We caught up last week, though, to discuss her conceptual approach to the album and its themes. Hannah challenges a lot of the norms against Southern women's sexuality on the album and shares a lot of stories about confidence on the record. I'll be sharing that interview at 10:30 p.m. So in the meantime, let's listen to the latest releases from country music this week. She's from Shreveville, Iowa, and he's a cowboy from Guitar Town, Tennessee. Here's Connor Smith and Hayley Witters with Roulette on My Heart.
Picking you up's like picking up a gun. Your kiss is the trigger. Daddy met you and he told me so. You better be careful with it. Eyes like an angel, heart like a thief. Perfectly complicated. My hands on you and your hands on me. I love you and I hate it.
Are you trying to love me? Are you trying to kill me? Every night with you is a shot in the dark. You touch me with a whisper, kiss me like a stranger. Holding somebody shouldn't be this far.
My happiness depends on you, and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
New album called Into the Neon. That was Randall King with I Could Be That Rain. Randall King is a West Texas old soul. He's got over 300 million streams with singles like You and a Honky Tonk, Hey Cowgirl, and Mirror Mirror. He's most surely keeping the twang alive in country's mainstream scene. Randall King there with I Could Be That Rain. Still to come on the show, though, I'll be speaking with special guest Hannah Blaylock in the build-up to her new LP called The Fall and Rise. She'll be featuring on the show in about 15 minutes' time on the night shift. I've still got a few tracks, though, I want to share with you all before then, such as this next release. I first discovered this artist just before Christmas of last year. I used to love and still love his track called Stay in Bed. However, he is still yet to be, so to speak, discovered. He continues to release his music, including this next song, independently, written by Michael Warren and Clay Cumby. This is Michael Warren with Hands to Myself.
Hands to dress slipping off your shoulder. The way you smile when we're rolling in the covers. I can't imagine life without you, you're my person. Right now I'm loving every minute, every moment. Baby, I can't keep my hands to myself. Baby, I want you and nobody else. And girl, it ain't a secret, everybody can tell. When I'm with you, baby, I can't keep my hands to myself. Everybody needs someone to believe in. The kind of soul who you know ain't never leaving. You got my word that we gon' do this life together. And when I hold you, girl, I know it is forever. Baby, I can't keep my hands to myself. Baby, I want you and nobody else. And girl, it ain't a secret, everybody can tell. When I'm with you, baby, I can't keep my hands to myself. Myself, baby, I want you.
To forget, so I'm right here hanging on by a thread right where you left me. Cologne on my pillow, open all the windows that I was gonna clear the air. But if I'm being real though, I'm still here hanging on by a thread right where you left me. Well, it's hard.
about a one-line cattle town. Instead of paving the roads, they just throw gravel down. It's where we turn coffee, king cash into gas and beer. The middle of nowhere, glad you're here. The fast lane and the slow down. It's where you live and you learn how to turn grass into dirt, turn seeds into rose, prayers into rain, turn tires off a road. Dust into clouds when the sun turns red, turn a hand-me-down Chevy to a creekside bed. Headlights burning, radios working, our sweet smiles getting some old boy turning. That midnight kiss into those three words, a girl like her will make your whole world turn. She turns 501s into long tan legs. She can turn a bad day around like she turns those heads. Yeah, she can turn one little look into turning me on. 5 more minutes into all night long. I'm holding on to heaven down here on tailgate day way out there. We turn grass into dirt, turn seas into roads, prayers into rain, turn tide. Smiles getting some old boy turning. That midnight kiss into those three words, a girl like her will make your whole world turn. All it takes is just one look and those brown eyes.
To the night shift, Hannah Blaylock. We're here to discuss your upcoming LP called The Fall and the Rise, and it actually comes following a long string of singles and two great fantastic EP releases. What has your energy been like leading up to its release these past few days?
Oh, I'm so excited to finally get it out. I feel like we're in such a special time in releasing art and music right now, because you get to make your own formulas. And also, there's never too many opportunities to share, like, the pieces of the work that you're doing. So, like you said, I've been able to release lots of different singles and kind of make this record. Most all of the songs have their own moments, which is so special. I never have gotten to do that in the past. And so now it gets to be, like, one collective work. And this is the grand finale. It's finally done. So it's going to feel really good. It'll feel really good to finally get to share it all in one piece with everybody, and also to kind of close that chapter of, like, I did it.
Yeah, because one of the tracks from that very long string of singles that references the upcoming title is a track called Catch the Wind. Was there ever a moment where the LP might have been called Catch the Wind, or was there maybe a different name you was considering before deciding on The Fall and the Rise?
I think that there was definitely a ton of brainstorming. I can't remember. And you always, I think you, most everyone considers using one of the songs as the title of the record. I can't remember if that was one of them or not. But for some reason, I didn't want to do that with this record. I wanted it to be a little bit more all-encompassing, because it is such a journey of an album. And a lot of the works were written and created over a long span of time. So I really felt like The Fall and Rise encapsulated the entire experience. And the whole idea behind this album and the way that it's been released is almost kind of like a little bit of a nod to a record. So an A side, a B side, and then releasing the full thing together. And now, the Fall and Rise helps, you know, the Fall and Rise fits into that idea. So the first side of it is called the Fall, the back side of it is called the Rise, and then the Fall and Rise together.
I think that's such a brilliant concept of having like an A side and a B side, because a lot of people won't listen to records like they used to. They won't listen to an album in full. But I think sometimes it really supports in how really the story goes in the LP. I mean, you've got to put the songs in order for a reason. And to have a four side and a rise side, I think is such a brilliant concept.
Thank you.
Now, what the cover work actually for the Catch the Wind release, I think it is such like a really, really strong feminine energy that's captured in that photo. Where was that shot? Because it is a really, really beautiful picture.
Oh my gosh. Catherine Powell did all of the covers for the single releases, and she is so insanely talented, especially on the roof of her house in East Nashville. So, that dress really worked out so well that I wanted something that flowed with the wind that kind of encapsulated the feeling that you feel when you listen to the song, especially the way the character feels in the song when they're singing it. And I feel like Catherine just blew it out of the park with every single cover that she made with me, which it is kind of with all the singles that I had, it was a pretty big challenge to give somebody, and she's just incredible. I'm so lucky that I got to work with her on this record.
It loves who it loves, and sometimes
making the record, I know your aim was to make a project that sounds and remains timeless. What are some of your own favorite timeless records?
I love that. Well, the top records for me are like Patti Griffin. All her albums still timeless to me. The Dixie Chicks, that's why I got into country music. I also grew up with records like the Eagles and Americana artists like Tim and Molly O'Brien, Nancy Griffith albums, you know, albums that you listen back and yeah, the production and things like that kind of, you know, lend to the time of when it was made, but it's not trendy. It's very much like applicable, and the works are applicable to today. Yeah.
Now, on your first record, that record was called Bandit Queen, you actually had the really wonderful experience of working with the Chicks on quite a
yeah.
few, actually. You worked with them on Bullet and Heatwave. On Heatwave, they played the banjo on the track. When you was approaching that record, that recording session with them, did you kind of have in mind what you always wanted a Dixie Chicks collaboration to sound like? Or was it a bit more free-flowing going into that session?
Being able to make that record was... It was like the gift that from the heavens that it was given to me by my ultimate heroes. And, you know, sometimes you're a little nervous to meet your heroes because you look up to them so much and you're like, oh, I just want to keep the idea of my head of what you are like the same. You know, I will say the Dixie Chicks sisters, Emily and Marty, they are the most fabulous human beings in the entire world. They're so down to earth. Their hearts are so huge. They're so insanely talented. And the reason why this record exists is because of them and Emily's husband, Martin Strayer. So Martin Strayer produced it. Emily and Marty played on it. I wrote several of the songs with Emily and Martin. And then Marty let me use her studio in Austin to record it. So they really, I had written all these works. I knew that I wanted to create an album that I just played the country radio game for a long time and there's nothing wrong with that. And I love being a part of country radio when it makes sense, but I didn't want that to be the number one reason why the works were created. So I was looking for more of a, I spent my whole career in Nashville. I was looking for a different experience and, that opportunity came to me and we really just went in there to create together and see what the outcome was, you know? So it was very collaborative.
Baby, this heat is blowing us around. Wanna pretend there ain't no sweat on your
Now, on your upcoming LP, you collaborated even further. You worked on the album with producers Autumn McIntyre and Jared Conrad. How did you first connect with the both of them?
Yeah, so Autumn and I have been writing together for over a decade. We are just very dear friends. She's godmother to my son, and she's just one of my people. And so she started getting it. Well, she would produce all the demos that we would make of all these songs that we've written over the years. And she's very, very good at it, very talented. And so I knew that I wanted to work with her in some capacity with this upcoming album. And then Jared was the engineer behind making a lot of the demos that we would make. So I was already doing it with them for like 10 years before the opportunity to make this record came about. So it just seemed very natural that, you know, we all were so familiar. It's almost like we didn't even need to do any pre-production. We were all so familiar with the songs we wanted to put on there. It just all was very easy and flowed very well. And so we kind of did something very unconventional. A lot of people are very nervous to do this for a record, but we cut nine songs, tracked nine songs in one day.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot. That's a lot of songs. That's a lot of work.
It is. A lot of people are only comfortable doing like three at a time. But because we were so familiar with these tracks and had dreamed for so long to record them, it wasn't as big of an undertaking as it would have been in other situations. So it worked out in that way.
Now, like you said, you and Autumn have been working together for years. And you actually worked first together on a song that actually made its way all the way to a Reba McEntire album, a song called Stronger Than the Truth. It really has this kind of Tammy Wynette kind of pain in it. What was the timeline between writing that track and then it finally being recorded by Reba?
Yeah, great question. You have such good questions. Stronger Than the Truth was the first song we ever wrote when we met and we got in a room together and we started talking about the country music that we loved. And, I feel like Nashville in general, and even the radio, it's kind of leaning back towards that traditional kind of timeless classic country that I haven't been able to help but just be. But at the time when we were writing that, nobody was really chasing that. That's not what was making people money, to be honest. And so both Autumn and I have a passion for that kind of music. That's the kind of stuff we grew up on and kind of what fills our souls. So that day we wrote that song for us. We didn't write it for, you know, radio or to get a big cut or to do any of that. We just wanted to write like a damn good country song. That was our goal. And I was just so grateful that somebody wanted to do that with me, because a lot of times, you know, people didn't want to. And so I feel like that was the foundation of our bond together in creating together. And shortly after that, she signed a publishing deal. She's been in the business her entire life. And Reba is actually her aunt. And so she came to her publishing deal signing party and we played that song. And she said back then, she was like, oh my gosh, I love that song. And she put it on hold. And a lot of times what putting a song on hold means is that like an artist says, hey, can you keep this song for me and not pitch it to anybody else? I'm considering putting it on my album. As they're collecting songs, and then they kind of dwindle it down from there. So oftentimes, when a song is put on hold, it very often is taken off of hold. So you don't consider a song on hold like a guarantee at all. So she put it on hold, and then with that record, she ended up not cutting it. And we were like, oh, cool. Well, it was an honor that she even considered the song, right? Well, then I think she had some things I can't speak for her, but I think she did have some things going on in her life where she really connected to the song even more and remembered it 6 years later, which blows my mind still today that she would remember that song. Of all the songs that Reba McEntire gets pitched probably on a daily basis, that she would remember Stronger Than the Truth. And she cut the song, and we didn't know it was going to be the title track of the album until the day it came out. So it was a pretty surreal experience that she not only remembered the song, but that she was excited and willing to cut something like that that was so classic, you know, that did really get to the roots of what country music is. And she said about the record, it's the most country record she's ever made. And I was like, hell yeah. Fully honored by the queen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never dreamed of wanting more than a small town simple life, a little money in our pockets. You're my husband, I'm your wife. But then I fell in icy water, standing in the grocery line. I overheard my name and yours in one I did not recognize. Now everything I thought I knew is walking out the door. There's a bottle on the table telling me the only thing I know for sure is there's not a sound, a sound as loud as silence. There is not a blade sharper than a lie. There is not a love lower than being the last one to know. You got a brand new start with someone new, and there's no whiskey stronger than the truth. You never think it'd be your story when you're pulling the wool off your eyes. You know, you think you know somebody, then you don't, and you don't know. Me another won't make the clock rewind, but I'm drinking every drop, knowing what I'm looking for I'll never find. There's not a sound, a sound as loud as silence.
Because I think songs like that definitely do, because they are so classic sounding, they definitely do take you back to that kind of Johnny Cash, Carter Family, Tammy Wynette kind of time. And I think if we go back to that time, there's also really, really many iconic duos during that time. Of course, you have like Tammy and George, you have Dolly and Porter, you have Johnny and June. And we kind of get that kind of duet, iconic duetism, if so to speak, from you when you worked with Cody Ballou on a track called Marion.
Oh my gosh.
As a
That's
really
so sweet of you to say.
How did that collaboration come about?
Cody and I have known each other since we were kids. So we were both choir nerds in Arkansas, the home state of where we're from. And I've known that he existed in the world since the ninth grade, because he was always the top tenor in the all region and all state choir. And I was always the top. I actually was an alto. I'm not an alto, but I was an alto throughout my high school, because I'm from a small town and they didn't have enough altos. So I happened to, those two parts sat across from each other. So I just remember being, you know, a junior high girl going, that's the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life. I had this major crush on Cody and would never speak to him. You know, of course, when junior high girl, you're so like awkward. And then we both went to different colleges on choir scholarships that were an hour apart. He happened to go to the same college as my brother and they were in choir together. And so he became friends with my brother and then was in my house one day. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Cody Ballou. So I've known Cody for a very long time. We both eventually moved to Nashville and have just been friends over the years for forever and have just supported each other a lot. By the way, Cody is gay, so I'm definitely not his type. And I gave up on my love affair for him a long time ago. But a girl can dream. Anyway, this song came about, and Cody and I, we before COVID, we actually had put together a little Arkansas tour, and we had put a whole show together and put together a lot of like other duet songs like Dolly and Porter and things like that. And then of course all of it had to be canceled because of COVID, and so we were already kind of doing duets. And I had written that song, and nobody said that they were going to cut it at the time, and I just loved it. And I thought, well, I have, you know, we're all looking for ways to be creative and we're stuck in our houses. So I just said to Cody, like, would you be interested in recording this song with me? And maybe we could put it out as a single. Who knows? And so we got together with this producer, Skylar Wilson. So actually, I ended up adding this song to the record later. So this song was produced by a different producer than Autumn and Jared on the album. And we recorded it COVID style. So everything was recorded in completely different rooms. And Skylar brought it all together. And so a pretty special track in that regard, because it kind of encapsulates a time in history that hopefully we will never live through again. But I kind of rewrote the song for a duet. And again, had no idea that anybody was going to cut it. And then later on, Sunny Sweeney, an amazing Texas artist that I love, I've known her for a long time. She actually was on the very first major country music tour that I ever got to be on. I was opening for Brad Paisley and Eden's Edge. And she took me under her wing and was such an amazing woman for me to look up to in the business. So I'd known Sunny for a long time, but she ended up cutting the song and making it the title track of her album. And I didn't know this at the time, but she duetted it with Vince Gill, which is insane to me. I mean, Vince Gill is like the top of the top for me. So her album went number 2 on the Americana charts. I'm so proud of her. She comes to Europe all the time and tours. So if you ever see Sunny Sweeney in your area, you've got to go to the show. She's so incredible. And she'll be playing Married Alone, so we can cheer that on. So Married, I mean, it's such a cool time, again, in music where collaboration is so supported and the more the better. So there are 2 versions of this song out there. And Sunny was so sweet to like up when we released ours to like cheer us on as well. And yeah, it's like there's 2 different ways that you can hear this song. And I'm just so great that the song has a life, you know?
I think nowadays you tend to see a lot of duets, a lot of collaborations, a lot of features between people, but we don't see a lot of duet albums, again, like how Tammy and George used to do, how Johnny and Jean used to do. Would you ever consider making a full duet album?
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be so fun. I love collaborating with people. I'm very collaborative by nature. Like, I've always loved being in bands and working with other people. And I'm kind of, I don't know how you are, but I don't like being alone a lot. And when you're a solo artist, it's lonely, you know, like touring by yourself and everything. It's like much more fun to do this with other people, you know? So that's how I see it anyway.
Together apart, married alone. It's hell on the heart, lying in the dark, trying not to let you hear my tears fall through the phone. And this house is where we live, but without you here, honey, it ain't. Maybe rings on our fingers,
is like an old pair of shoes. They just don't fit quite like they used to. And lonely's a friend we both know too well. And still we're all in on the hand we've been dealt. Together, apart, married alone. It's hell on the heart, lying in the dark, trying not to let you hear my tears fall.
With this more current record, June Autumn wrote again for this record, a track called Burn the Forest. For you, what's the story behind that track?
So Stronger Than the Truth was the first song we ever wrote. That was actually the second song we wrote together. And I had recently, you know, I'd made the decision to leave a band that I had been in since I was a child. So I was in a very much, I call it like the pushing restart of my life season. And it's a thing that I think is that if you live long enough, you go through one way or the other, you know, like whatever it might be for your story, whether you change careers or, you know, unfortunately a divorce happens or something like that. It's like one of those things where, it's the right decision, but it requires some heartache and some pain and some regrowth. So almost like a phoenix, you know? And so I was in the middle of that season of my life and just processing all of that. And so that's what artists do, is we live our lives and we write them in art form in hopes that releasing it and sharing it with other people can make us all feel seen and connected. And so that is specific to that season in my life, but the whole idea is that we all kind of go through that. And so, you know, if you're going through that season in your life, that song is for you, and hopefully it helps inspire and get you through it. Know that there's another side. You will come out on the other side stronger than you were before. You know, the garden will be richer than it was before because the soil is enriched by the fire that happened, you know, and that it's not the end.